It's the story everybody is talking about, the number one story right now in the country. Tyreek Hill on his stomach. People driving by going, wait, isn't there a game in a few hours? Miami-Dade officers handcuffed him after a traffic stop, as well as another NFL player who pulled up. Calais Campbell. See what was going on. People driving by saw Tyreek Hill, in cuffs on his stomach. Officers knee to his back. Immediately went viral as soon as people started filming. So you had other NFL players pulling up going, hey, what's up? Okay. Couple of things here, Lee. I just know from being a crime reporter, I've ridden along so many times, okay? If your family member, your friend, your spouse, whatever, is getting pulled up, it is getting pulled over for something, even if the officer's somehow in the wrong or something, right?
Yeah.
You don't go, hey, I'm your husband. I'm going to debate you on this right now.
That's not a good look.
No, you cannot walk up to the scene and get involved. You will end up in cuffs. I don't care who you are. That's just standard procedure because those things for officers can tend to spin out of control. They will cuff you now and ask questions later.
Yeah.
So if someone you love, your significant other, your sister, your brother, your mother, whoever is getting pulled over, you do not walk up to the cop and say, hey, I'm his friend. Yeah, you're going down. You're gonna get put in cuffs. It doesn't matter what color you are. That's just standard procedure. They're not going to sit there and debate your friends and family over whether you should be pulled. And that can often turn violent. So that's why they just precautionary will do that if you, show up and want to have a conversation with them. Interesting that one of these Miami-Dade officers who pulled him has now been put on desk duty. They're saying they're not saying he did anything wrong. They're saying, hey, we're just going to pull him off, off the streets until we figure out what's going on here. But the Miami-Dade police officer who placed him in handcuffs is on administrative duty after Dolphin star Tyreek Hill was detained before the game. So we'll see what that means.
Yeah, that's an interesting development, though.
Yeah.
And, of course, the individual involved is saying, well, he didn't know about that, but that sort of proves his point, is I think what he's trying to say here.
Yeah. They put out a statement from the Miami-Dade Police Department. I have initiated an internal affairs investigation to ensure a thorough review of the matter. So it is standard there if you are, if you're going to do a review, that you go on desk duty. It doesn't mean the officer's being punished, as some have insinuated. It just means we put them on desk duty while we do that. That's pretty standard at police departments across the country, too.
Well, this makes me hearken back to the Scottie Scheffler situation.
Yes. I know, very similar. That was, PGA?
Yeah, but he actually was arrested, cuffed, put in the car, taken downtown, booked, photo taken, charged, and then later the whole thing fell apart because the officer involved was incorrect in his, description of the events as they unfolded.
Which, look, goes to show you, Scottie Scheffler is white. This can happen regardless of your race. So we don't know what's going on here. Tyreek Hill said he was totally respectful.
It wasn't disrespectful, because my mom didn't raise me that way. I'm still trying to figure it out, man. Like, I want to be a cop one day. I got a state trooper hat, all that, so I got a lot of respect for cops, man. But I want to be able to, use this platform, to flip this and, make it a positive on both ends, on my end and then also Miami-Dade, so that way we can team together and, do something positive for the community.
Wow, I had not heard that. That's a good response.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, he later went on to say, what if I hadn't been Tyreek Hill? I don't know. What if you were Scottie Scheffler? I mean, I don't know. Yeah. So I want to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. What I do know about these stories is that a week or two from now, the details will be very different from what we know today. Usually what comes out right in the beginning of the first 24 hours, the thing that everyone jumps on and reacts to is not even actually the truth usually in these stories. And it takes the truth, days, weeks, whatever, to catch up. No matter, whether somebody was at fault or not at fault or who knows who did what, because of why. We don't even know what the internal policies are here of this police department.
And maybe if he'd been driving an old Mercury instead of a new McLaren, then...
It does attract attention. Yes. I don't know, though. I mean, that doesn't mean you've done anything wrong.
No.
But
anyway.
Yeah. So Tyreek Hill was cited, though, for driving violations. So we'll see.
Okay.
Including speeding. Don't know.
To do in a McLaren, I'm just telling you.
I know. Spill for speed. Yes. What I do hope is there's a lot of video here.
Yeah.
So that everybody can see what actually happened before the media tears the nation apart based on lies, which is what they like to do in these situations.
And as we previously talked about, the entire video, the video of what led up to this, not just the situation where he is cuffed and sitting on the side of the roadway, because that'll be the interesting part. That'll be, you know, was this justified?
Yeah.
Is he telling the truth when he says that, you know, he didn't disrespect the officers there and that, you know... just be interesting to see. And like I said, I'm not taking one side or the other.
I'm not either. I don't have the facts to
exactly
do it.
Because, you know, hey, cops are human. They make mistakes. Sometimes, you know, got a bad day to take something the wrong way. But then again, if you are the suspect and the person who is getting the attention from the law officers, you may not remember things, or maybe your perception may not be the same as what they saw.
We now, by the way, because of the fraudulent past coverage of the mainstream media with so many issues, revolving around policing, we are seeing a 10-year high, a police officer's murder in this country every 22 hours now. That stat just came out over the weekend.
And I do,
every,
like I said,
22 hours.
Like I said, I did appreciate the way that he presented that in that movie, that what he was saying, that, hey, at some point he'd like to be in law enforcement.
I know. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, if that NFL thing doesn't work out
exactly.
for you, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of working out for you, this gives me hope, okay? It's ABC News, so it might be fake. But headline, Donald Trump preparing for debate with help from Matt Gaetz and Tulsi Gabbard. We knew he was working with Tulsi Gabbard a few weeks ago, but then that seemed to kind of peter out. So hopefully he is actually doing the work of preparing for this debate. Because let me tell you what, if Donald Trump actually did the work just one time of preparing for a debate, I think he would be dynamite. But he doesn't. He does not have the facts at his fingers to fight her. And she's only got one way she's going to do this. I'm going to tell you what she's going to do. She's going to come out of the gate for this debate, rapid fire lying at him. She's just going to rapid fire lies as fast as she can go. He has got to have data and comebacks at his fingertips or he is going to get lost.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Democrats have a problem, right? They've got the FBI is censoring for them everywhere from Facebook to Instagram to Google. They've got the search results locked up. They've got their sheeple fooled. This is huge for them because they could be exposed here if he does this right. All the lies they've told their own voters. And so, they're going to be desperate to keep him from telling their voters the truth on virtually every issue they've been lied to. So it was a huge win for him to be able to get her mic muted while he's talking so she can't interrupt him when he's telling the truth about something. It's going to make it a lot harder for them to paint him as an abortion zealot, which they're going to try to do.
Yeah.
Never mind that he's actually the opposite of that.
And I wonder if they're still going to try this Project 2025 lie.
Yep.
This is insidious, what they're trying to do here. Because, and listen, I'm not criticizing the Heritage Foundation and the Project 2025. I'm just simply saying Trump has not accepted that, and actually he's sort of denied that he had any knowledge of it or was going along with it. And of course, almost everything that the left-wing media and the Democrat Party are saying about the this document are false to begin with, or at least they're opposed to the policies anyway, so it makes no difference. But, you know, they're trying to make this into an issue like that Project 2025 is something that Trump is going to immediately enact. It's simply a what's usually referred to as a white paper, a policy statement on various issues. And people that are leaning in that direction that would be, a good idea to have as a part of the administration. But it is not policy. It is not a part of the Republican platform. It's not a part of the Trump platform. Period. And so all this stuff where you're hearing them talk about Project 2025, they're lying to you about that. It's an absolute lie.
Look, as Elon Musk pointed out over the weekend, we're at a crisis point in this country, and we're not debating it. I mean, we are now spending more for interest than for the military.
Yeah.
That is a disaster. We add another $1 trillion to the national debt every 90 days now. That is not sustainable. Not when half the jobs in this job report that just came out on Friday were created, half were government jobs.
That's from Elon Musk.
Yep. And almost all, well, actually, that was from the jobs report.
Oh, okay.
From the Labor Bureau.
But his reacting to the yes. amount of debt. While he says, excuse me, let me go rescue your NASA astronauts.
Right.
On the other hand.
That you paid to send up there but can't get back. We'll get into all that coming up. Unbelievable. With Kamala Harris and Donald Trump hovering around 270 electoral votes, November presidential election probably be decided by 3 electoral votes or less. Ooh, that's scary, right? Well, do you remember, folks, every one of our federal agencies pretty much has been weaponized now by the left. They answer to the Democrat Party, not the people, not to Congress. Do you remember the 2020 census robbed red states of between 4 and 6 congressional districts? What? Because the census deliberately undercounted red states, the number of people in red states, and overcounted the number of people in critical blue states. Stealing seats. They stole congressional seats. And do you remember, this is when I lost it with Kevin McCarthy, who was our speaker. Kev said nothing about this. Kev did nothing about this. It almost made me think he was in cahoots with the Democrats. That's how bad it was. That's when I went, never Kev, I don't care. Somebody scrape him up off the side of the road. Anybody's better than this guy. Can you imagine if we had weaponized the Census Bureau and stolen 4 to 6 congressional seats? I mean, our majority is smaller than that. The Democrats would have gone buck wild. Kev did nothing. And it was obnoxious, too, because the census came out. They waited until the Census Bureau waited until it was too late. There had already been primaries in these fake districts. And then they were like, oh, yeah, you know what? Yeah, all these census takers lied. We fired them and all. But yeah, we're going to go ahead and keep the fake districts. And Kev went, okay. Okay, fine. There were unusually large counting errors, and it was really weird. The overcounted states were all blue, and they were massively overcounted, some of them. By 5, 6, almost 7%, Delaware, Hawaii, Massachusetts, Minnesota, New York, Ohio, Rhode Island, and Utah. So only 2 red states in that list. Undercounted states, Arkansas, Florida, Illinois, Mississippi, Tennessee, and Texas. Now, why am I talking about this again? Well, presidential electors are awarded by congressional districts. So you get 2 electors, like for your senators, right? And then however many Congress members you have. So when the census robbed red states, thanks to overcounts in blue states like New York and Rhode Island, guess what? They robbed electors too. So what happened was the census had to fix things. I mean, they knew they were doing this. All these people are fleeing blue states because of the misery. So they would have lost electors. They had to figure out a way to put them back. So they did. They just, whoops, counted wrong. Well, now that's a really big deal because, look, it's looking like it'll come down to just a few electoral votes for Trump versus Kamala. According to a Heritage Foundation analysis, the result of those errors was to short red states at least 3 seats, might have been as high as 5, 2 in Florida, 1 in Texas, and give them undeservedly to Minnesota, Rhode Island, Colorado, places where people are fleeing. And by the way, we'll continue to flee as Trend Aragua in California, in Colorado takes more territory and more cities. In a close election, a swing of 3 House districts and 3 Electoral College votes could determine control of the House or the White House. In other words, another fake president. What does this mean? You got to vote. You got to vote. Shocking stats by one of the few Republicans actually trying to register Republicans, Scott Pressler. Think about this for a minute. Pennsylvania, 900,000 hunters in Pennsylvania. What do you think? Most hunters are probably red, right? They're probably Republican. Think hunters would care if they take your guns? If she does mandatory gun buybacks? I think they'd care a lot. How many of them are unregistered? What would you guess? Unregistered to vote. 300,000. Let that sink in. And you know what this explains? There are more of them, Democrats, in terms of registration, right? You go state to state to state, you add them up all across the country. It's more Democrats than Republicans. But there's this weird thing going on where poll after poll after poll after poll shows there's more of us. Normals. Usually right around 60 to 63% of Americans support whatever the Republican position is over the Democrat position on everything but abortion. That makes no sense. How are there more of them registered, but there's way more of us in polling on virtually every issue? We're not registered. That's the difference. Look at Pennsylvania. Joe Biden won, I'll put that in air quotes, won Pennsylvania by 81,660 votes. And we have 300,000 unregistered hunters? It's so bad that Scott Pressler had to start going to Trump rallies because he found on average 13% of the people there were not registered to vote. Crazy, right? So here's what I need you to do. This audience is going to be pivotal to making the decision about whether Kamala Harris is the president or whether Donald Trump is. Why? Trump needs three states to win. If you want to know what's going on in this presidential election, just watch three states. Pennsylvania, Georgia, and North Carolina. If he wins Pennsylvania, Georgia, North Carolina, he's a president. And we know that because did you see over the weekend, the governor of North Carolina, who's a Democrat, Roy Cooper, came out and said, listen, if Kamala could just win North Carolina, she's the president. He's right. So what does this mean? Our audience, this station is heard in roughly half of North Carolina. My dad gets it clear to Charlotte driving around in the car. And we're heard in North Georgia. Okay, if you are within the sound of my voice, number one, check and make sure you are still registered, especially if you haven't voted in a while. If not, you need to register. Number two, you need to go find every like-minded friend and family member in North Carolina and Georgia. Have them check if they're registered. It's very easy to do. Just County Board of Elections, look up your county, put Board of Elections after it, see if you're registered. You know, you can register online in North Carolina. You can register online in Georgia now. I didn't know that. I looked it up this weekend. Okay. You're going to check if you're registered. You're going to ask everybody you know to check if they're registered. The registration deadline for North Carolina is October 11th. For Georgia, it's October 7th. Please, please, please check and have friends and family check. And then you know what we're going to do? We're going to hound them to vote. We've got to get out the vote for Donald Trump. And 3, 2, 1. The Georgia school shooting is about to disappear. Always disappears around this part, this point when we find out that, in fact, the shooter was a liberal, was a leftist, or was otherwise a victim of their propaganda. Colt Gray, in his postings about why he wanted to do a school shooting, and yes, it was very obviously him, wrote about his disappointment, his frustration with the lack of acceptance of transgender people. Here we go. Here's the line in the UK Daily Mail. They had reportedly referenced the Sandy Hook shooting, talking about his writings about, you know, why he was threatening to shoot up schools. The warnings that had the FBI triangulate the postings to his house and then send sheriff's deputies. They couldn't be bothered. They're too busy going after conservative influencers who, you know, might be spewing out Russian propaganda to be bothered with things like mass murderers and stopping them. His posts referenced the Sandy Hook shooting and expressed frustration over the lack of acceptance for transgender people. His father, this is in the initial interview that the FBI sent the sheriff's deputies to his house. His father said he was gay and it was difficult for him to go to school and not get picked on. It's according to a transcript of the conversation at the time the deputy went to the house. So this is a year ago. You know, the deputy who, when Cole Gray said, oh, yeah, no, the FBI might have, you know, triangulated those school shooting threats to my home. But me, no, I didn't post that. It must have been somebody else. And the sheriff's deputy went, sure, cool. And then the FBI went, sure, cool. Yeah, have fun. Go back to school. Yeah, that'd be fine. This got so much more shocking over the weekend. Couple of things. Number one, dad admits, let me just read it, okay? Because this is just, it's weird. The father claimed he and his son talked about school shootings quite a bit. You talk with your kids about school shootings quite a bit? Adding, you never really know. And I don't want anything to happen to him. Folks, this was when the sheriff's deputy went to the house. Let me get this straight. You talk to your son a lot about school shootings. The FBI has just sent a sheriff's deputy to your home for making threats about school shootings. Your son says, oh, it wasn't me. And you go, yeah, I'm sure it wasn't him. It's just probably someone else who lives in this house. Huh? But this doesn't add up. It doesn't add up. And then dad goes, you know what he needs? You know what Junior needs? Junior needs a gun for Christmas. How about an AR? Oh, and do you have enough ammo? Here, son. Want to talk about school shooting some more? But the mom? Oh, we haven't even gotten started on her yet. He texts her a simple message on the morning of the shooting. I am sorry, Mom. Somehow she knows this means he's gone and done a school shooting or plans to. Wait, I'm sorry, Mom, and you know he's probably doing the shooting that morning? What? That's what they're reporting. She panics and calls the school guidance counselor or one of their counselors. Panics. Gets in the car and starts driving. Somehow she knows him sending her that message, I am sorry, Mom, means, you know, me, I'd be like, what, did you leave your clothes, you know, your clothes on the floor? I wouldn't assume you were going to commit a school shooting. You know what this means? These parents knew. They knew that something was wrong. Let's put it this way. They knew something was deeply wrong here. They were not surprised by this. Here's where this gets even crazier, according to the Washington Post. A call log shows Marcy Gray, that's his mom, the school shooter, had a 10-minute phone call with the school just 30 minutes before the tragedy unfolded. This is the Washington Post reporting. Okay, I'm just going to read it. A counselor told Gray, the mom, during the call that her son had been talking about a school shooting that morning. At school? Anyway, the mom called after getting that text, Mom, I'm sorry. Quote, she says, I told them it was an extreme emergency and for them to go immediately and find my son. They did after the 10-minute conversation. Oh, yeah, you know, Junior was talking about a school shooting this morning. Yeah, he was. They went immediately to look for him. They didn't know if it was him or another kid who had a very similar name. They couldn't find either of them within minutes the shooting started. Folks, the school and the FBI failed utterly here. So did dad. It's clear that law enforcement thinks that too. Have you ever heard of such a thing? Folks, as I said last week, the January 6th folks would have loved that. Oh, did you triangulate my phone to the area right outside the Capitol? Over 900 of them were arrested because their phones were triangulated by the FBI to right outside the Capitol. They didn't even go into the Capitol. I don't even know what they were arrested for. Something. If you could have just said, oh, that wasn't me. Yeah, no, I wasn't there. Sorry. And the FBI would have gone, oh, okay, cool. Must have been misunderstanding. Well, just just go ahead and we're good. We're good. That's okay. As long as you say you didn't do it. Why did this kid get to go back to school? This case is unbelievable, but you're not going to hear anything about it anymore unless you go looking for it because of the gay and transgender angle. They're going to cover this right up. Make it go away. Make it disappear. Like the Trump assassination. Was there ever really a Trump assassination? You would not know from reading and watching the mainstream media in the United States of America. Do you see what happened to Green Day over the weekend? Yeah, the band. I actually really like their music. I hate their politics, but I do like their music. Anyway, they were having a concert at Comerica Park in Detroit. Concert is paused. Band rushed off stage mid-song. Well, what was the emergency? An unauthorized drone was spotted over the venue. That's it? Yeah, their security took them right off the stage. Detroit police say a man flew a drone over the stadium, prompting the band to be taken off the stage for safety reasons. Band was in the early stages of its set and playing Longview when the crew members appeared and ushered them off the stage quickly. They put up a message that read, "Show pause, please stand by for details." And following a brief delay, the band returned to the stage, resumed their set after the drone was secured. Really? But yet, President Trump was never warned to get off that stage, not even when his attempted killer was flying a drone around, walking around with a rangefinder, had a gun, climbs up on the roof, very casual, takes his time as if he's absolutely certain nobody's going to stop him. Wait, I'm sorry. Can somebody from the Trump campaign get in touch with the Green Day security guys? Because we need to go ahead and just shove the Secret Service off to the side. Where does Trump go to get the kind of security Green Day has? Because last time I looked, the Iranians were not trying to kill them. Just Trump. You see how that shows something is deeply, deeply wrong here. Texter writes, where did this go? The law enforcement should have been called for other agencies to assist when they had this information from the school guidance counselor. Another texter writes, connecting the dots between transgender people and mental illness has to be quieted down. Oh, yeah, you're talking about the shooting. Texter writes, hey, Tara, why would the father buy a gun? Another texter writes, no gay child is bullied in America today. I don't know, but I know that when my kids were still in public school, the most popular kids were the gay kids. In fact, we had kids in one of my kids' classes coming out as gay when they weren't gay, so they could be popular. So I don't know, you know, different states, different rules, but right here in Greenville, you want to be popular at school, you're new, come out as gay. Everybody will love you. Saw it myself. And it's that way by the fifth grade. Texter writes, evil will always win because good is stupid. So says Dark Helmet Spaceballs. I don't know. Maybe. Meanwhile, over the weekend, Elon Musk posting about that. We are in grave financial trouble in this country, folks. And if Trump wins, they will immediately give you the truth about that. Do you realize we are on track to reach $36 trillion in debt by the end of 2024? We're on pace for over $1.2 trillion in interest to be paid on the debt in the next 12 months. That's 25% of all government revenues. $1.2 trillion interest on the debt, $1.2 trillion to be paid in the next 12 months. We don't get anything for that. Elon Musk retweeted that and wrote this: interest payments on the national debt are now higher than the entire Defense Department budget and rising. And it's like it's not real. I mean, Kamala Harris is running around going, yeah, I'm going to give every family $25,000 for a down payment on a home. How many families? About 4 million. Where's the money coming from? No, we'll just print it. No, we'll just print it. It'll be fine. And you just pay at the checkout line at the grocery store. And, you know, you're going to have less and less food. But you'll be fine.